ESPN's Todd McShay. Todd, a lot can happen here with free agency, but with the Broncos, one guy who's in flux, Malik Jackson. Do you think there's anybody there with the Broncos sitting at 31 where they could replace a guy like Malik?
Yeah, I mean, this is the year. If you're going to have to replace a interior defensive line, this is a great year to have to do it. When you look at it, I mean, it starts with guys like DeForest Buckner from Oregon, Robert Kimdiche, two Alabama guys, A'shaun Robinson and Jerron Reed. But then Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle from Louisville. And the list just goes on and on and on. I mean, I've been watching guys like Chris Jones from Mississippi State recently. I had no idea how good of a player he was and the potential that he has. And even if it's not in the first round, I mean, you look at like Willie Henry from Michigan, another guy that's kind of flown under the radar, who's an underclassman who just play in and play out, does the right thing, is in the right gap, is strong at the point of attack, and adds a little bit as a pass rusher. So the answer is yes. I think this is a great year to find a defensive tackle.
A lot of talk about quarterbacks always come draft time. John Elway likes to draft a quarterback maybe in some of the later rounds just to bring in some competition or whatnot. Any guys you see there in this year's class?
This class is actually it's not great necessarily at the top, but a lot of talent in the middle of late rounds. And I think, you know, Kevin Hogan is one that jumps out at me. I think if you had asked me in the beginning of the year, I would have just said, long shot. And this year, you know, even just talking to their coaching staff, what he took on, he was, as Coach Shaw told me, he's about this far away from what Andrew Luck was doing from, you know, pre-snap at the line of scrimmage, mental capacity standpoint. He came so far as a player, and you can see it on tape. I mean, checking out of bad plays into good plays, making better decisions. He doesn't have a big-time arm. Got a little bit of a longer delivery, but his arm strength, I think, is adequate, and he's throwing with a lot better timing and anticipation and hitting spots this year. So he's one of many. I mean, Dak Prescott from Mississippi State had a better year. Jacoby Brissett from NC State. I mean, there's some guys that are better athletes, and they aren't necessarily, you know, efficient passers of the football right now, but there's a lot of different variety and guys certainly you can bring in that day three range.
Stanford connection there with Hogan as well.
Right.
Last one for me here. The offensive line has been a major concern for the Broncos. Kubiak even said today that they need to get better there. Do you see anybody who might be able there at the 31st pick in the first round if they go that way?
Well, you know, this year's tackle class is, I think, solid, not great. The guard class, I think you're probably starting to look in that second, third round range. You know, Stanford's Joshua Garnett is, I think, a really good player. You look at Cody Whitehair from Kansas State had a great week at the Senior Bowl. Been watching a little bit of his tape and like what he's doing. So there's a lot of players, I think, in the second, third round. I don't know that you want to spend on a guard, a first round pick. At the tackle position, you know, I think there's a chance it runs out by that spot. So, you know, do you reach for a Jason Spriggs from Indiana, or do you go in a different route, like we were talking about, maybe defensive tackle and secure that spot if they need it, and then go back to the offensive line a little bit later? You know, we'll just have to see. A lot can happen between now and then.
Welcome back to Broncos TV Live at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Everybody's got their own opinion as to what is going to happen in late April during the NFL draft, but one opinion matters most to us, and that is the one of Andrew Mason. Mace, you've got your first iteration. Well, come on, Mace. You're our expert.
I'm trying here.
You've got your first edition of your mock draft for the NFL offseason. Take it away. There's no other way to get into it other than to show us what you got.
Yeah, well, and let's start with number one. Let's start with the Titans, 3-13. And, you know, it could be, I think it'll come down to Laremy Tunsil or Joey Bosa, but right now I've got him taking Laremy Tunsil. No offense to Bosa, but when you've got Marcus Mariota, your first priority should be to protect Marcus Mariota. That's why I keep coming back to Tunsil. Number two, the Cleveland Browns, Carson Wentz from North Dakota State. You know, I was working on this mock draft last week, and I had Jared Goff, but hearing Hugh Jackson talk about the importance of hand size, and then seeing that Jared Goff had 9-inch hands, it seems like we're all talking about hands here at the Combine this week, then that's why I went with Carson Wentz, number two. Number three, Joey Bosa to San Diego. Number four, linebacker Miles Jack to Dallas Cowboys. I have Sheldon Rankins, number five, going to going to Jacksonville at that spot. Defensive tackle. A lot of people don't have him that high, but he was tremendous at the Senior Bowl. I think he's played his way up at least in the top 10, and maybe that'd be a bit of an upset, but the Jaguars need some power up front. I think Rankins can provide that. Jalen Ramsey of Florida State I have to the Ravens at number 6. DeForest Buckner, big hands, nearly 12-inch hands from Oregon I have going to the 49ers at number 7, and they need defensive help back badly. Ronnie Stanley, number 8, to Miami, offensive tackle. Again, kind of the same concept as Tunsil at the top of the draft. You've got to protect the quarterback that you've got a lot invested in, Ryan Tannehill. I have Vernon Hargreaves going to the Bucs at number 9. There's a lot of directions the Bucs could go in, but right now I have him at corner. Noah Spence, a fascinating prospect, got kicked off of Ohio State's team, had some issues with ecstasy, ends up at Eastern Kentucky, wows people last year, has a great Senior Bowl week. I have him going number 10 to the Giants, who historically have loved pass rushers and, frankly, need edge pass rushers right now. Number 11, Bears. Jalen Smith, a great linebacker out of Notre Dame. A'shaun Robinson, he spoke today. I have him going number 12 to New Orleans. Jared Goff, I have his slide stopping at number 13 to the Eagles. A lot of questions about what the Eagles might do at quarterback. Do they keep Sam Bradford? Do they move on in free agency? But right now, I've got them taking Goff. I have the Raiders taking Clemson cornerback Mackenzie Alexander. Again, another team that can go in a lot of directions. Laquan Treadwell, I have him going to the Los Angeles Rams. Oh, I said that right. I thought I'd say St. Louis for sure. At number 15, you know, coming off the injury, he's been tremendous. I think he's the best receiver in this draft this year. Detroit, I have taking Shaq Lawson from Clemson. Atlanta, 17, Darren Lee from Ohio State. I'd be shocked if Atlanta doesn't go defense, defense, defense all over this draft. Taylor Decker going to the Colts at number 18. That's another team that's got a big-time quarterback they need to protect much better. Again, I think the Colts are doing it wrong if they don't go for the best offensive lineman on the board, and I think that's Decker right there at number 18. Robert Kemdiche, boy, oh boy, there was not a bigger press conference here at the Combine in the last 3 days than the one for the Ole Miss standout, and it certainly wasn't because of what he did on the field, although he had to answer some on-field questions, perceived laziness, the fact that he doesn't go hard every play, but it was mostly about character, mostly about a December incident involving marijuana, being drunk. He said he wasn't high. He said he was drunk, falling out of a fourth-story window. Tae said he was taking the fall for other people. The hotel room was in his name. There are character questions. There are questions about his motor in terms of going every play. But I don't think anyone in this draft has a higher ceiling, and he's be a perfect fit for a lot of schemes. I think the Bills bite on him at number 19. The Jets, I have taking the massive defensive tackle out of Louisiana Tech, Vernon Butler. Redskins, number 21, I have going with Reggie Ragland, a guy who dropped 12 pounds between the Senior Bowl and the Combine. He put the pounds on because, frankly, he was enjoying Alabama's post-championship celebrations a little bit too much, but he's back in shape. That says a lot about him. Number 22, Houston. I think they're going to go quarterback, and Christian Hackenberg might not be a first-rounder to any other team, but he might be a first-rounder to the Texans based on his long connections with Bill O'Brien, his former college coach. Cody Whitehair, the best interior lineman in the draft, I have going to Minnesota at 23. The Bengals need a little bit of depth at receiver. I have him going Corey Coleman, the Baylor standout. Eli Apple to Pittsburgh at 25. I had Pittsburgh taking cornerback in last year's draft, and frankly, I think they should have. They could have really used corner help all year. At some point, I figure they're going to address it. I think they do so at this spot. Seattle, I have taking Jack Conklin out of Michigan State, another team that really needs to upgrade its protection. I feel like I'm harping on this, but if you've got a young elite quarterback or a quarterback you believe that can become elite, you've got to take care of that guy, and that's what Conklin can do. Hunter Henry, best tight end on the board I have going to Green Bay. There's already a lot of chatter about Henry, the Arkansas standout, going to the Packers. At 28, Jaron Reed going to the Kansas City Chiefs. 29, Arizona needs edge rushing help. Kamele Correa from Boise State can provide that. Carolina, number 30, another team. At some point, don't they have to address their offensive line high? Well, I have it happening here. Jason Spriggs out of Indiana. And finally, number 31, and it's 31 because the Patriots don't have a first-round pick, Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State. He ran a 4.47 40 today in the combine. Maybe he doesn't fall this far, but if by chance he does, he'd look awfully good in orange and blue, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I would.
All right, Mace. So six offensive linemen go off the board, so the Broncos turn to running back. What do you think that means about the Broncos' current state at their running back position with C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman?
Well, I think you expect C.J. Anderson back. If they take a running back high, and it may not be the first round, it may be a second-day pick as well, but it's not an indictment on C.J. Anderson. But this offense that Gary Kubiak wants to build, he wants to have two running backs that he can shuffle in and out. Tried that with C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman. It was interesting. It seemed like the backup running back was always the one who did better up until the Super Bowl for the most part. But you want to have that 1-2 punch. I think no matter what happens at running back, C.J. Anderson is going to be the first part of that 1-2 punch. And then you're looking for someone else. It could be in the draft, could be in free agency. They could bring back Ronnie Hillman. Don't discount Capri Bibbs or Juwan Thompson. But someone like Elliott, boy, you imagine, it's exciting to envision him being partnered with C.J. Anderson or any elite running back. I mean, Derrick Henry may even be in the mix as well, but I like Elliott a little bit better because he's a little more compact. And if you, again, look at Kubiak's offense over the last several years. Go back to Houston. When was it at its most efficient? It was when he had Arian Foster and Ben Tate. 1-2 punch. If you're a fantasy player, you remember Ben Tate is probably the best backup running back in the game at that point. It didn't matter which one was out there. The offense was effective. That's where Kubiak and Rick Dennison, that's where they want to get with this offense. If they can find, if they can partner C.J. Anderson with a running back who is at least his equal, they can get there.
Well, and we all know Ezekiel Elliott, his coming out party, the national championship 2 years ago, 246 yards, 4 touchdowns against Oregon. 4 touchdowns in one game, and then over the last 2 years, 3,700 yards and 41 touchdowns. So the guy knows how to find it in the end zone.
Mm-hmm. And in that offense, there's some elements of zone blocking in it as well. So I think he knows how to read the holes in this sort of scheme pretty well.
Mace, I know that you know a lot, but do you know Elliott's connection to the Broncos? I put you on the spot.
You put me on the spot. What
His
do you got?
High school head coach, Gus Frerotte.
No kidding.
Yes. There, I pulled that one out on you, huh?
Wow.
And Matt, I want to ask you, what do you think about running back going this high in the draft? We heard from Ezekiel Elliott the other day. He said that Todd Gurley provided an excellent example of what a good running back can do, worth it in the first round. You think the running back has been diminished, though, a little bit over the last few years?
A little bit. I definitely think it has been diminished. But I also think that it's definitely possible that we see a running back drafted this high, because if you kind of read the tea leaves, you look at Gary Kubiak's comments, you look at John Elway's comments, they seem to think that this draft may be deep as far as the offensive line is concerned, with guards and tackles aplenty. We talked about 6 in the first round. But having 6 go in the first round might make it a bit of a more thin position if there aren't that many left on the board. So I definitely think it's possible if they think other positions like defensive tackle, like offensive line, are deeper in this draft, they might go with a running back, because really, you look at Henry, you look at Elliott, and then it kind of falls off as far as that first tier of running back is concerned. So I think it would be definitely possible if the Broncos decided to stay at 31 and stay at running back.
Go ahead.
And the other thing to consider is, you know, they're going to look at this draft, they're going to look at offensive linemen, but the way they like to develop offensive linemen is to have them kind of grow that first year and get them out there the second year. They were kind of, they rushed some guys into service this year, but if they're thinking not just about the long-term future, but about what can help this team get to Houston and get to Super Bowl 51, maybe it's a running back who can do that.
Ezekiel Elliott could fit that mold there. He talked the other day about what he thinks his skill set could transfer and look like at the NFL level.
I think a thing that sets me apart is just my versatility. I'm a guy that he can play three downs. You don't have to take me off the field. I value blocking more than anything. I obviously love to run the ball. I think I have great hands off the backfield. I think I'm a guy that's going to come in and work hard from day one, and I think I'm a guy that brings a lot of versatility to the position. I'm a guy that can play on all three downs, and I think I excel in all areas of the game.
I Elliott there talking about his skill set, said that he really likes the block. The other thing that I thought was interesting that he had to say, we all know his comments that he made after that Michigan State game where he said he thought maybe he should have got the ball a little bit more. He said that was just his competitive spirit coming out, and also that he's growing a lot from that incident, I guess, if you want to call it that. It was just some words after a game. Mm-hmm. He said he's growing a lot. Could be a good fit in Denver.
Yeah, he could. I think there's a lot of players that could be great fits for the Broncos, whether it be on the offensive line or at running back. We actually had a chance to talk to somebody who knows a lot about the college game. Sports Illustrated's Joe Neeson has been covering the college game all season long, but also has been covering the Broncos for the Denver Post in recent years. We had a chance to catch up with her to find out who might be the perfect fit for the Denver Broncos. All right, we're here at the NFL Combine with Sports Illustrated's Joan Neeson. And Joan, let's talk a little bit about this group of college prospects, because it seems like there's a theme with every draft class. What do you see as kind of the theme for this group?
I mean, I would say the defensive side of the ball is really where a lot of the strength and the guys who I think are going to be big playmakers in the league, I think that's the side of the ball this year. We've got guys like Joey Bosa, Jalen Ramsey. Those are my favorite guys in this draft. On the offensive side, I think everyone has their different favorite quarterback. I can't get a consensus on where any of that those guys are going to go. Running backs, I think there's maybe one first rounder. Receivers, there's not really a consensus too much either. And it's really interesting to see how that will shake out. But for me, the standout talent where you go, that guy's a top five pick, that's on the defensive side of the ball.
You see schools like Alabama, LSU here every year, but we're also seeing this year North Dakota State in smaller schools. Do you think it's easier for those smaller schools to stand out now than maybe in years past?
I think that's definitely true. I mean, just you can click on YouTube and get a highlight reel of a guy like Carson Wentz. And I also think, though, that I don't know where this falls down the line, but he's a guy who performed so well at the Senior Bowl, and people are still talking about him now. And so that existed in the past, but at the same time, does he get to the Senior Bowl? Does he get that invite, if not for this technology? I don't really know, and I think there is that. I mean, during the season, you heard his name, and it's not like one of those things where you don't hear about him until after the season when you're really cranking down into draft coverage. So I think that's really good for guys like him.
You've also been all over the country covering college this year. Maybe a player that not many people are talking about, maybe a little bit off the radar, somebody who might not go on day one. Who's kind of somebody that maybe we should look out for?
I think a guy who NFL people aren't really talking about, but people in the college game are very excited about, is Noah Spence, who played at Ohio State, was kicked off the team for a drug problem, kind of redeemed his career at the FCS level, and is now also had a great Senior Bowl, and is now being talked about maybe as a first rounder if he interviews well. And it's funny, I talk to friends who cover the NFL, and you're getting into that draft coverage right now, and he's not a guy who played in the national championship or who played in the SEC. You don't hear that name, but he is a guy who at the college level is, I think, turning a lot of heads.
We've seen the Broncos in the past take guys like that, like Shane Ray, Bradley Roby, guys who might have had trouble in their past. Maybe not Noah Spence, but could you give us somebody else who would maybe be a good fit for the Broncos? I know they're drafting late, somebody else who might fit their needs.
You know, it's so tough to say what's going to happen at pick number at least 31, not 32 this year with the missing Patriots pick, but I would love to see them get one of those top tackles, offensive tackles, just to beef up that offensive line. I think the guy who would probably fall out of that group would be maybe Taylor Decker from Ohio State, who is so physically imposing. You just look at him and your jaw kind of drops. I was at Ohio State's bowl game talking to him, and I'm not tall, but standing there, I was just like, oh my gosh, he is so physically imposing and really a guy who I think has a lot of upside at the pro level.
Our thanks to Sports Illustrated's Joan Neeson for taking some time with us. It was interesting to hear her talk about Noah Spence, a guy that Mace had brought up as possibly being someone that's not being talked about maybe in that upper echelon range because of his character issues. But I also thought it was interesting, just to touch base real quick, about the offensive line, because she does think that maybe one of those six offensive linemen falls as far as 31, and if he is there, maybe a Jack Conklin, maybe a Taylor Decker might be the perfect fit for the Broncos.
And, well, we've heard a lot of talk about offensive line from John Elway and Gary Kubiak. Of course, Conklin, 26th to Seattle in Mesa's draft, and Decker, 18th to the Colts in your mock draft. You think they'll be around? Maybe not.
They might. Again, it's one of those things where you do your mock draft based on what the team's needs are right now. But let's say the Colts address O-line, then maybe they don't go O-line in the draft. That's, you know, it really is kind of just throwing darts blindfolded a little bit when you're doing the mock draft today. But, yeah, I think offensive line could be there. And, look, the Broncos' free agency moves are going to dictate that, because if they can't sign Malik Jackson, all of a sudden maybe you're talking about one of those big three technique guys being someone the Broncos take at number 31. And I think offensive line, it's going to remain a need and a priority throughout the offseason no matter what happens. So that could be as well. Another first-round caliber offensive lineman I didn't mention, Ryan Kelly out of Alabama. Not really a Broncos need because he's a center and they're very happy with where Matt Paradis is, but I think he could sneak into the first round too.
Well, it's funny that you bring up free agency, because earlier we had a chance to catch up with ESPN insider Adam Schefter. The guy knows everything that's going on in the league before anybody else does. We had a chance to talk to him about the Broncos free agency situation. Pleased to be joined by ESPN insider Adam Schefter. Yesterday we heard John Elway talk about the Peyton Manning situation, going to give him as much time as he wants. But how do you see this thing playing out, especially with the deadline looming and Brock Osweiler sitting right there?
I think everybody's more anxious than the Broncos are for answers, for whatever reason that is. It doesn't seem to make sense, but it's true. Everybody keeps asking, what's Peyton going to do? What's Peyton going to do? And the Broncos are very relaxed about it. And I think one of the reasons they're relaxed is they feel comfortable and confident that they can get a deal done with Brock Osweiler. I'm a bit more uneasy than they are about that, because it's not often that a starting quarterback gets to market and other teams have the chance to bid on him, and you'd have to think that Von Miller is going to get the franchise tag unless they get a deal done with him, which could happen. But certainly if Brock Osweiler gets to the market, there may be another team that takes a run at him. If that happens, that could leave Denver in a real bind if they lose Brock Osweiler and if Peyton Manning retires.
With all these free agents, I was going to ask you about Von Miller next. Sources saying that they're kind of close to a deal, but how do you think this thing's going to play out here?
So you never say close to a deal. You never know. Okay, these things change on a daily basis. Von Miller is going to get paid a lot of money, whether it's within the next week, whether it's in July before the franchise tag deadline, should he get the franchise tag. So he's going to be a Bronco. He's not getting away from Denver. The question is, when did they get that deal done, and how does that impact the other players that they have to address?
So many moving parts here. What's the hardest part about repeating as Super Bowl champions? We just never see teams do it these days.
It's very difficult because, number one, it's hard enough to win a single Super Bowl, no less two Super Bowls. There are so many things that have to go right. Think about everything that happened for Denver this year. Miami beats New England on the final Sunday in the regular season. It sets up Denver with home field advantage. What would have happened if Denver had to go to New England to play the AFC Championship game instead of New England having to come to Denver? The result might have been different. Play the Super Bowl. They beat up the Panthers pretty good. They caught them at the right time. They played a great game. They deserved to win. But again, it was a great run. Can they repeat all that? Very hard to do when everybody's gunning for the world champs, the defending world champs. So there are a lot of issues. Repeating has been very rare, and it's been very rare for a reason.
Last question for you here. We've seen you walking around always with your phone in your hand. Yeah. You ever put that thing down?
Well, one of them is actually charging right now. I've only got one, so I feel a little half naked right now, to be honest with you.
Well, thank you for sparing a couple of minutes with us. I appreciate it. Thanks,
Congratulations,
Adam.
Congratulations to the Denver Broncos and the city of Denver.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Our thanks to Adam Schefter there, and people in the Denver market, of course, know Schefter from his days with the Denver Post. He is always on his phone, though. We've seen him walking around here. That's how you have to do it, and so you know exactly what's going on. And when we come back from a very quick break, we'll also be joined by another guy who knows everything that's going on with the Broncos. That's ESPN's Jeff Legwald.